Fourth one, new covenant sacrifice. This is systematic theology if you weren't paying attention. New covenant sacrifice. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. By the way, that verse is one of the reasons I hate tradition. Futile ways inherited from your forefathers. That's a good definition of tradition. Going forward, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Blood is something that is spoken of continually in the Bible. More than 450 times the Bible speaks of blood. Almost every time the Bible speaks of blood, it does so in conjunction with death. The reason people don't like to talk about blood, think about blood, see blood, or smell blood is because it disgusts them. And God continually links sin with death and blood so that we will identify the horror of blood and death with sin. In so doing, God is telling us He is as disgusted by sin as we are by blood. Just as you don't want to see blood, as you don't want to smell blood, as you don't want to touch blood because it disgusts you, God identifies it with the penalty for sin, which is death, so that we will be as horrified by sin as He is, that we'll be as horrified by our sin as we are by blood. We live in a world that exists in large part to not let anyone see blood. If you get sick, you go to the hospital. If you're dying, you don't die at home, you go to hospice or some sort of care. In a movie, when someone starts bleeding, or a television show, the camera pans away. Nobody wants to see the blood. In the Bible, the camera always pans in. And it holds a steady shot until you are really disturbed. And the reason is, God says, I feel that disgusted by sin. And the whole point of the old covenant leading up to Jesus was that there needed to be the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. There needed to be the payment of death for the doing of misdeeds. Who was the first person to shed blood in the Bible? God. Adam and Eve sinned. And God slaughtered to cover their sin. The slaughter and the bloodshed is always to cover the sin. From that point forward, it is a bloody book. Noah gets off the ark, and the first thing he does, offers a sacrifice. Why? Because he knows that he's a sinner. He knows that he should have died in the flood. He knows that apart from God's grace, he too should have perished. And I'll prove this to you, another rabbit trail. Genesis 6, almost everyone messes up Noah, and in so doing, they butcher the gospel, and they teach it this way. Noah was a good man, and so he got to live, and all the bad guys drowned. The moral of the story is God loves the good guys, God hates the bad guys. If you read the verse in context, it says that Noah found favor. It's the Hebrew word for grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and then it says he was a righteous man. Noah was saved by imputed righteousness, just like you and I. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So as soon as he gets off of the boat after the flood, he offers a sacrifice saying, I should have died too. God should have shed my blood. I'm just as sinful as everyone who died. And then he proves it by getting naked and passing out drunk in his tent. Peter says he was a righteous man. And I say, that must have been imputed righteousness. Because if I do that, I lose my job. Now, as well, the way this would work in the Old Testament, right, would be the sacrificial system, the shedding of blood. And in this, there were people who would literally bring their own sacrifice. Literally bring their own sacrifice. I am a sinner. I need a substitute. Blood needs to be shed because I deserve to die. That is how the Old Testament worked. And then we get to the New Covenant. Jeremiah, Paul in the New Testament, they distinguish Old Covenant, New Covenant. Old Covenant's foreshadowing, New Covenant's fulfillment. All of a sudden, the New Covenant, Hebrews, is almost entirely written on these points. We don't need a priest. Who do we have? We got Jesus. We don't need a temple to be God's presence. What do we have? Jesus. We don't need a lamb. We have Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptizer says. So all of the Old Covenant leads up to the New Covenant, which is fulfilled in Jesus and the shedding of His blood for our sins. Therefore, when Jesus went to the cross and he declared, "It is finished," all of the work of the new covenant was completed. And that was the final bloodshed that was necessary for the remission of sin. I told this story to a guy. He came into my office with his wife. They were having marital trouble. I'll tell you a pastoral story to illustrate the significance of this. How this understanding of the cross has massive pastoral implications. He comes in. His wife's pregnant. They're having some troubles. He's a Christian. She's a brand new Christian. Just became a Christian. He got saved a few months before her. We're talking. They have marital troubles, scrapping, this and that. And I just looked at her. I said, "Look, I feel like you've got something you need to tell him. Just tell him. What is it?" She had been hiding this deep, dark secret that throughout their marriage, she had been sleeping with his friend in their bed when he was at work. She had never told him. And it had caused great distance, obviously, in the marriage. So she tells him this while she's pregnant, a few months before the birth of their first child. Another pastor and I had to escort him to another office because he was livid. This man was ready to kill somebody. The thought of his friend in his house, in his bed, with his wife, destroyed him. The man was literally sitting in the chair, and I could still see him. He was gripping the arms of the chair, not blinking, nose completely flared, breathing deeply. And I looked at him. I said, "Okay, what do you want?" Here's exactly what he said. Great line. He said, "I want blood." I said, "Well, your wife is a whore. And you've already gotten your blood. A few months ago, she met Jesus. Jesus died for all her sins. You've already gotten your blood. You've already gotten your blood. So now you treat her the way Jesus treats her, with forgiveness and redemption. And Jesus' bride's a whore too. And so you do what he does, and you love her well. And you make her beautiful." They've been married happily since that point, not without struggle. They teach a Bible study together for newly married couples. And I'll tell you what I really love. I love seeing them serve communion together, and she usually holds the cup. What's that represent? The blood. She knows what it means. She knows what it means. That she should have died, and instead, she's loved. That's the gospel. That's Jesus. And there are people who love justice and they want blood. And we tell them, "You know what? You get it at the cross. You'll get your blood. You get your blood. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood. You get your blood."